welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have you guys back. This is part one of our time traveling experience, time travel movies.
Are we back or have we been here all along?
Yeah, we've looped. We're watching ourselves somewhere, like out in the bushes.
Is there a time traveling noise? Like, whoosh,
yeah.
Whoosh. Doctor Who.
That's something I really want to get into with this series is appreciating all the different methods of time travel and sounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've got Sean Jordan.
Hey.
Taylor Owens.
Yay.
And Travis Budd.
Oh, hey.
We got the whole team. Tay's back from space camp.
Oh, God. I learned a lot about wormholes. And it was really, they're just in the hole. That's all it is. Like, they don't do anything.
It's just worms and holes.
Yeah, it's just worms and holes. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot about living, a little bit of love.
Yeah.
They made a movie about that. It's called Dune.
Yeah. Well, I was really just a janitor.
Yeah.
And yeah, at the space camp.
So we're going to talk about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, part one of six time travel movies we're going to do. So we're starting out with a comedy. And we're going to drink for this series some wines that kind of either alternate of wines you can drink right now, fresh, immediately, or wines that will age a little bit.
Oh.
So.
Old time travel wine?
Yeah. So we're going to start with a Viognier, a French Viognier. That is going to be something that's it's a 2020 and it's drinking really good right now. This is the Comtesse Marion, a Viognier that's about $20.
Can you dumb down what a Viognier is?
Viognier is going to be a white wine. It's going to be lightly acidic, creamy.
Creamy.
Mm-hmm. It's going to have, you know, lemony, citrusy. Sometimes you even get kind of a orange peel kind of texture to it.
Yeah. It can be like a blending grape too.
Yeah.
Like Chenin Blanc, Viognier are also like really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You will even see this blended with red grapes.
Yep.
A little bit. They'll throw in a little bit with like a Syrah or something to kind of
lighten it up.
Yeah. Mellow it out and kind of sand off the edges. I think it drinks just fine on its own.
This is a good one.
It's nice. This would be a really good pair, I think, with Asian food. If you're doing like a spicy, you know, kind of citrus type Asian.
Pad Thai?
Yeah. I think it'd be really good. It'd go really well, kind of a zesty.
Peanut sauce.
Yeah, a little bit of lime.
Yeah. Because it's got that kind of citrus flavor that'll kind of cut through the spice, but also it's got kind of a creamy kick to it. So it'll hold up against some bold food. So
I always look for a French wine to pair with Pad Thai. I'm always on the lookout.
Yeah. But that's our first choice, and that's a 2020 again, so you drink that now. It's not meant to age. It's not going to get better with time.
What's the price point?
18, 20.
And I saw it's 13%.
Yeah. So, it's pretty typical for a white wine. It's most white ones are in that range somewhere. And then for the red, we're drinking the Lan Rioja.
Rioja.
And it's a 2015, so, I mean, obviously it's got 7 years on it right now. And not a whole lot of red wines even will hold up for that long and still be really good. So, Spanish reds are unique in that way. A lot of old world wines are unique. They can age. You can let them sit for a while. Even Spanish reds that are affordable like this one. This one's about 15, 16.
14.5% alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And this one could actually sit for a little while longer. You could put another few years on it. I think it'd still be really good. So,
what's the year on this one again?
2015.
Okay.
2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one has a little like time map on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little aging stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting.
Todd, give me my dump. Info dump.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. This was released February 17th, 1989.
Oif.
It was actually filmed in 1987. So,
whoa.
It sat on the shelf for almost 2 years. It struggled with distribution issues.
Much like this wine.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, it's a time travel movie that sat on the shelf for a while, so figure that out. Grossed $40 million against a $10 million budget, so it became a surprise hit, I think, more than people thought.
$40 million against a $10 million budget?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's a pretty decent return. And it actually kicked off a whole franchise.
Where was the budget?
Probably those phone booth effects.
Tube effects.
Max Headroom CGI from back in the day.
The consistently expanding phone booth square footage.
And probably cocaine for George
Carlin. Bigger on the inside.
Yeah, that's probably, that makes more sense.
I'd say at least a million of that was George Carlin's cocaine budget.
And half of that is those fancy guitars they get at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they don't even have like the tuning knobs on them.
Yeah.
So you had two sequels, Bogus Journey. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came out in 1991, which I enjoyed. I don't know if you guys have seen that. We talk about that.
I
later.
Need to revisit that.
Time for a rewatch.
As a young man, I got a kick out of that one. And then Bill and Ted Face the Music, which came out in 2020 during COVID.
None of us have seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah,
I have not seen it.
You did?
It was cute. It was stupid, but I mean, and we'll get to that.
So was the first one.
That's this franchise, you know, and you know we'll get to that in my critique of the movie. It's hard to criticize a movie that makes fun of itself so much. It's almost critic proof. So yeah, co-stars Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Ted Theodore Logan, and Bill S. Preston Esquire, respectively, and then George Carlin plays Rufus, the time traveling guide from the 27th century.
2688?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plot follows two dim-witted California teens who are presently flunking out of high school. Bill and Ted secretly dream of starting a rock band called Wild Stallions, but they lack the initiative and the skill to make it happen. History teacher informs them that if they tank their history project, they will be officially flunked out of school. So with that, Rufus, a righteously cool dude from the future, lands in a Circle K parking lot in a magic phone booth time machine to inform the boys that they must pass their final project at all cost. He informs them that they are their fluffy 80s metal band will someday unite the world in song and world hunger and war as we know it.
Did you say fluffy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just think of fluffy 80s hair metal, you know, kind of like.
Glam rock, yeah.
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 You know, spandex and fluffy hair. That's kind of what I think of 80s metal.
Sure.
So Rufus gives them his time machine. The boys are able to go through history and do the proper research, interact with an assortment of historical figures.
Somehow learn both French and Greek along the way.
Yeah, and are able to interpret.
Yeah.
They interact with Sigmund Freud, Napoleon, Abraham Lincoln, Socrates, or Socrates.
I love that. I don't know why. I thought Socrates was so funny. I thought it was so funny to me.
I'm always worried that I'm going to be involved in a serious conversation. I'm accidentally going to call him Socrates.
Socrates.
And Billy the Kid. And also two bodacious ladies in waiting from the court of Henry VIII. The
bodacious babes.
And so they have to make this presentation, but can they get their whole project together in time? That's basically the crux of the movie. So, and a side note, that the movie does make a few historical errors. We'll get to those later. And obviously, you can't grade this movie too harsh.
Huh.
So, Trav, I'm curious about your thoughts. What do you think?
I love this movie when it came out back in the day. I found it harder to watch this time because maybe I just wasn't in the mood. But it had been several years since I had seen it. But I love all like the stupid little air guitars and stuff. Joan of Arc was hot. Socrates, Socrates, whenever he's trying to hit on the girls in the mall,
mm-hmm.
geek, and Sigmund Freud.
Such a geek. Like,
yeah.
And by the way, they were like violently old.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
The women? Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like, the guy is trying to, I'm like, so these mm-hmm. little, these young girls, like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Billy the Kid gets the, like, most lines in the movie besides Bill and Ted Rufus, George Carlin. Well, and maybe Ted's dad.
Well, he did take the time travel very well.
Yes, he did. He was, yeah.
You also got to think, at Socrates' age, I mean, it was pretty commonplace to hit on like 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Napoleon had a lot of lines, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, in yes. French. I honestly, man, his swimwear was inappropriate. I thought we were going to see. I kind of wanted
to see.
How did
we not see more?
I wanted to see Napoleon's little Waterloo. Like, I thought it was, like, he was running up and down the slides. Like, he was getting so into it. He was into slide theory at that point.
Yeah.
And clearly talking about it with the kids waiting in line.
Carrying a child up the line.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
But
don't do that.
And eating lots of ice cream and just, you know, that was great.
Eating Neapolitan ice cream, which is obviously a very stupid joke.
Taylor pointed this out in a text later on, but I was like, I loved all of the stepmom jokes.
Oh yeah, I mean
yes.
For Bill's.
Yeah, it was just like,
and his dad just being like, like, all right, why don't you guys go take an early dinner?
And he's like, he's in a bank. He was like, man, your dad's going for it in your room.
Yeah.
And he was like, shut up, Ted. He's like, remember when I asked her to prom?
Shut up, Ted.
That got me. I was like laughing. I was watching with my girlfriend, and she was like, that's not funny. I was like, no, it is very funny. It's very funny.
It's violently funny.
Yeah.
I did like this part of the so basically. Their telephone booth was a takeoff of Doctor Who, because they have the call police box or whatever. But obviously, it's almost bigger than the inside, because they fit like 8 people in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tight for 2 people at the start of the movie, and then there were like 10 people in it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the time travel aspect of it, where, you know, basically Ted was like, oh, shit, I need these keys, and, you know, I just need to remember in 2 days to go steal my dad's keys, then go put them here, hide them for us. Oh, man. Okay, I got to remember a trash can to randomly fall on his head, or recording or of tape. Me, like, jerking off and listening to Wild Stallion or what, whatever he did.
Wait, what? I'm sorry. I kind of...
Comprehensive.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
They really yada-yada-yada over that in the movie.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. How many time travelers did they have?
But quite a few. I mean, they had a roster.
Yeah, a little rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And for some reason, while I was watching this and I saw Abraham Lincoln in it, all I could think of is in Fight Club, when they're like, if you could fight anybody from history, who would you fight? And one was like, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln was
a good answer.
Great boxer, actually. Yeah. Historically, he was a boxer.
He's got great reach.
Too. Yeah, he was a
tall guy.
He was 6'5".
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he was 6'4", 6'5".
He was a big dude.
But yeah, he was a bare knuckle boxer.
Yeah, and he was a frontier guy too. I mean, he log cabin dude.
He was also a vampire slayer.
That's true. Exactly. That's factual truth.
Mm-hmm. Chopped down a cherry tree.
Wrote a book about it.
Yeah, like he knew what he was doing. Yeah.
He was an officer, I want to say,
and a gentleman.
He was an officer, I believe, in the Kentucky or Illinois, like National Guard, basically.
Would have been Illinois, because that's where he's from.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I think, Kentucky born. So I don't know if he would have served in Kentucky. I'm not sure.
Log cabin. I just wanted to say that. Also, he had some sweet facial hair.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. I liked that mole. That
very experimental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing. I always get this mixed up, the ending mixed up with Bogus Journey, because at the end of every Bill and Ted, I'm like, all right, they're going to do the Kiss song that God gave rock and roll to you. And I was really disappointed when I didn't see that in this.
That's such a perfect Bill and Ted song. That's like
it's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. So what's your score? 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Now that I've seen it again, like, I like it. Didn't blow my socks off. Give it a 5.5, maybe 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nostalgia got me, but I also, like, I'm a little... I almost said I'm too mature. That's a bold-faced lie.
L-O-L.
I got rid of my button here for the laugh track. I could have had like a studio audience.
I just wasn't in the mood for it, and I was like, oh, watching it again. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cute. This is quaint. It's like going back to watch Weekend at Bernie's.
So I don't want to spoil something that I was going to say for the end, but do you guys know what this is rated on IMDb?
I would guess 6.5 or 7.
8.9.
4.
6.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, 69. Baby.
I'm not even shitting you. It's rated a 6.9 on IMDb.
Yeah.
No one review it ever again.
Yes. Nobody touch it. Nobody look at it. So tell you what were your thoughts.
Saw this in theaters, and I don't remember anything about it. Don't remember anything about it. Don't remember a damn thing about it. And I just remember seeing it and just thinking that, like, oh, what a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how I got there or what, but I just remember like, oh, what a cool, but didn't understand anything about it.
Yeah.
Seen it a few times since and didn't really process it. Just thought, what a stupid, silly movie. But unfortunately, I was in a good mood last night and I thought it was fucking hilarious. And it was like, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what in the hell is this movie? But I think you said it perfectly at the very beginning. It's like, when you're watching a movie, when you know damn well Keanu Reeves as an actor, it's just like, I'm just doing this for the paycheck and just having a good fucking time. I don't give a shit.
In 1986, yeah, like, I don't think he was like...
Yeah, it's like...
He wasn't a big actor. Like,
right,
this is like, he's just loving life.
It was just... Part, yeah. It's like, and I until you said it, like, that's how I felt it. Like, does anybody care what this... Even George Carlin, like, I don't know why, but I love that 80s kind of era where, like, they'll look at the camera, and at the very end, when he's like, they get better, I was like, that is the way to end the movie. And I was like, and I did not. And again, like, even at the very end, he was like, I don't know, Bill. Like, I can't remember who said it. It was Bill or Ted, but it was like, maybe we should learn how to play. I go, wait a minute. Did I miss this whole thing? It's like, they did not say that early on?
Yeah, they said
it. Like,
yeah.
It was like, and like, I don't even know. It's like, so they don't even know how to play?
Yeah.
And I was like, this
we
is.
We need to get good.
Yeah, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. I watched it and I just was like smiling the whole time. And I had a few drinky poos when I was watching it, but it was just so stupid. And I will say that, like, I think I liked it a lot. And it not that I would be like, oh, you got to watch Bill and Ted. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, one of the greatest movies of all time. But you should watch it at least once. It kind of created a little bit of a phenomenon, you know. Mm-hmm. The time travel aspect was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And when they're, like, going through and they're just like, he's like, oh, yeah, this can take you to any time, any place. I'm like, so is that just a wormhole? And it's like, I don't know.
I like
it's
that like, they had a phone book that could tell you, like, every time.
Exactly.
And place
with an operator. Well, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like, even at the very end, he was like, no, it's like, no, Bill, you got to dial.
One day later.
It's one day later, you got to dial the next number. And kind of hit him. He's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, what? And I was like,
Yeah, Ted, yeah. Don't forget to wind your watch.
Like, when he knew he was going to forget.
But it was just crazy because, like, I felt like they actually did wrap it up pretty nicely. Like, they all, the quote-unquote continuity. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. It's like, oh, yeah, the keys. Hey, Dad, I'm over here. And I was like, man, this is so stupid. Mm-hmm. But damn, it's kind of cool. Yeah. I was like, and you know, you're talking about the budget. I was like, early on, I was like, yeah, where did that budget go? Because like, and even like
the castle, and then the western area.
That's the only thing I can think of. Yeah, that western area. I mean, I don't know about that. It was like
that was a backlog.
Yeah, that was backlog, how yeah. bullshit it was. Where like Ted falls out of the armor that fucking quick.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Shit,
yeah.
Walter.
Yeah, yeah, that right. was, yeah. But
I did watch a video showing like how long it takes to strap into medieval armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't just fall out of it. No. Turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, I don't know. I kind of liked it. I think the acting was just, if there was one negative thing I say about it, like it got to a point where like, man, I can't listen to these voices anymore. I mean, they were funny, but they just kept talking that way. And I was like, oh, dude. My God. And he's like, dude.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. But if we're not here, and it was, I mean, it was still funny as shit. But also, I did find it humorous, like, because even early on, my girlfriend was like, I don't know if I can watch this. And I was like, no, we're watching it. Because
yeah.
It was like, he goes to see his dad. He's like, you take my keys? He was like, oh, by the way, if you get an F, you're going to military school. And he was like, okay.
Classic.
And then when he goes in there, he's like, in Alaska. And I was like, hold on. And I was like, it was like
Alaska.
To me at that point, it was like the absurdity of like everything was just like, it's like this is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're gonna send these California dudes to Alaska.
I was getting some strong like dude, where's my car vibes.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yes.
Then, and then they only like only one of the princesses was really had any lines.
Yeah.
Like she was talking the whole time and then there was the other gal.
Rufus introduced us to a mole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And credit cards.
Credit cards. It's like, oh my God. So I don't know. I like the film. It was nice for me to revisit it because I remember seeing it in theaters. And the only thing I really remember in theaters that I liked a lot was the phone booth scenes and Napoleon eating the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I don't know why that scene like stuck out to me so much. It's like him just eating that ice cream. I was like, man, that's so cool. I want ice cream. And I was like, that's so awesome.
Well, it's like, and I learned the French word for shit.
Merde.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
Napoleon yeah. bowling a gutter ball
yeah.
in this movie. Merde, merde, merde.
I thought George Carlin looked like the coolest dude ever when he put had the shades on.
No. Yeah.
This was before I knew he was a comedian when I was quite a tiny tot, because obviously I couldn't watch those, you know, types of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Unless it was like way past 9 o'clock and my parents didn't realize I was still awake.
I mean, yeah, I had no idea. We watched a documentary on George Carlin a few weeks ago that I think that Judd Apatow put together.
Is it on HBO?
I believe so, yeah.
I've heard it's damn good.
It really is, yeah.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, it's sad that this iconic comedian, I mean, he's Mount Rushmore of stand-up comics. The first thing I saw him in was Bill and Ted. That's the first thing I ever saw.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Actually, he didn't do a bad fucking job in Jersey Girl with Kevin Smith.
No?
Like, I mean, you know, there's some parts of that movie where it just like feels like they're just reading words on the page. But George Carlin, not a bad fucking actor.
He was. Like, comedians, he was probably the best part of Jersey Girl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Comedians, fucking Robin Williams right there. Comedians make damn good dramatic actors.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they say doing comedy is harder than doing drama.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Jim Carrey, I feel like we missed out on seeing him in some truly like Robin Williams type roles. I think he could have.
He got mad burnout, and I don't fault him for that at all. But yeah. Like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was great.
It's a great fucking
Michelle show. Gondry.
And Truman Show, I thought was good.
The number 23, great movie.
That was.
I didn't see that.
It took me a long time. Like, I saw it once, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? But I watched it again.
They advertised it like shit.
Yeah.
And so everyone just kind of stuck with 2 divided by 3 6, 6.
It was
6.
Actually, it was a good movie. I saw it twice, only twice. But at the first time, I was like, this movie sucks. And it was like, I think it was on TV one time. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. I'm like, okay, this movie is actually pretty legit.
Yeah.
It's like, but again, when you see Jim Carrey, that poor son of a bitch, mm-hmm. it's just like Robin Williams. It's like, oh, you think of Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, at least I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was damn good.
But wasn't there great, another like weird number movie that came out around that time with John Cusack that was like
1408, which is a great movie.
That was a good movie.
Worth
too,
watching. Yeah. Definitely worth watching.
And that's the only one I saw. I didn't see.
Very different for Cusack.
Also, 1 + 4 + 0 + 8 = 13.
Oh,
whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know we're on this, but another good John Cusack movie that's a little weird and off the beaten path is Identity,
mm-hmm.
which I saw and that blew my fucking mind. That's a great film. We should, pot on it.
Yes. And we're going to do our Mailbag Monday. We're going to talk about movies that we want people to see, like that are under the radar. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, cool.
Taylor, how would you rate this movie?
I was going to say before you interrupted it, probably a 6, 6.5. It was like, like you said, it's a stupid movie. Uh-huh. There's like the phone booth. I don't know why I thought it was so funny, but like the whole gum sequence where they're like trying to put it back together. What was the montage? Damn, I just saw it last night.
The ball?
They had another crazy montage. I'm like,
Genghis Khan.
I'm like, yes. Yeah. I was like, I'm here for this. I'm here for this montage. Fuck yes.
Beethoven with all the keyboards.
That was awesome.
The fucking music just seemed shredding on here for
that. I wish I was happy like anything in my life as Beethoven was learning.
Yeah.
Electronic keyboards.
And I'll end it on this. And I had a few drinky poofs towards the end of it, so I kind of was getting a little fuzzy. But at the very end, and this might have been a tribute to Billy Madison stealing from that. Did one of the guys, one of the students when he was giving his presentation,
just football rules?
Yeah, football rules.
Yeah.
Was football that from rules? Yeah. It's like Nib High football rules.
Yeah.
Is that where Billy Madison got it from?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was I was sitting there having a drink.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I was having a drink and I was like, and it was kind of silent. And he was like,
Sandy must football rules.
Yeah, I was like, what just happened? And I was like, is that from Billy Madison? And Billy was like, I didn't see it. And I was like, okay.
She didn't see Billy Madison?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she has, probably. She's too young.
Wow.
She's too young for that.
We gotta
work on that. Yeah. That is a mistake.
But I would say 6.
Wait, I'm young.
6.5.
6.5.
I would say.
Yeah.
And mainly, most of that comes from nostalgia reasons.
Yes.
It's like, but I mean, if it was just like some jabroni, I'd be like 5.
I mean, it's like, it gets that nostalgia for a reason. It's earned that spot.
Keanu's hair was great.
It is great.
It was constantly moving.
God, loofed.
But what was I? Something's afoot at the Circle K.
That's my quote right there.
I love that one.
That was going to be my question. It's have you, what quotes from this movie do you normally use? And my favorite one is Strange Things or
Strange Things,
the Circle K.
Well, and it made me wonder, it kind of goes back to the whole E.T., Reese's Pieces or M&M thing. It's like, did Circle K pay for that? Or did
you
they
would hope so?
Yeah, it was I was like, man, what else would have been around that?
Twinkies.
Yeah.
That's what got Genghis Khan to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would have had to clear permission to use Circle K.
That's what I was thinking.
There'd be payment involved for that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's free advertising. I still think of Circle K. Like, when I see Circle K, I think of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think of that quote to this day.
Yeah.
So, it stuck with me.
Something strange is afoot at the Circle K.
Sean, what do you think?
I love this movie. So, first of all...
Had you seen it before?
Yes. In bits and pieces. I mean, this is a movie that's been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's on cable a lot. It did come out 1 year before I was born, so you guys who saw it in theaters, I did not see this in theaters for obvious reasons. It's 90 minutes long, and yeah, which, I cannot tell you how fucking refreshing it is every time I see a 90-minute long movie come up on our podcast. I'm just like, oh, fuck yeah. I can watch a movie that's an hour and a half. Like, I could just crush it. I know there's not going to be a lot of stakes. It's so great. In this movie, there are zero stakes.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, it's totally.
It is a absolute fluff ride the entire time. It's so
fluff ride.
Fluff ride. I'll give you a fluff ride later.
.com.
That's going to be my search history tonight.
No, but it's just delightful. I mean, you got goofy actors. You got like goofy plot. You got fucking George Carlin doing George Carlin things. I mean, great music throughout. Also, I mean, this is like peak. Not hair metal. It's kind of like, I don't know, like 80s.
80s, like anthem metal.
80s hard rock.
Like arena metal.
Yeah, like Eddie Van Halen was like their, you know, the guy that they need to get in their band so that they can make it big.
But we can't get Eddie until we get good.
And he joked that he would join them. And like Eddie Van Halen, like when they asked, was like, yeah, I'll join them if they asked me.
100%. I mean, Keanu Reeves is now a bigger name than Hundo Eddie Van Halen. Hundo P.
Yeah.
Like, it. This movie has stood the test of time more than Eddie Van Halen has.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything's wrong with Eddie Van Halen, but like...
R.I.P.
Yeah. But I just think it's fun. I mean, did you guys have a favorite time traveler of all of the characters that we saw?
Probably Socrates, I want to say.
Socrates?
Socrates is great.
Because he was like more shocked than, you know... Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I did find also, and we are a little more woke nowadays, but I found it so funny with Genghis Khan... I think did he get a bite of a turkey leg?
Yeah.
And then he started making out with the girl? I'm like, what is going on right now? And then, like,
they baited him with a turkey. Yeah. They were just like, huh?
Oh, yeah. I don't think he said a word. He just took a bite of a turkey leg, made out with a girl, and was like, food? Yeah. And I was like, what was that?
Yeah. And honestly, Khan was a very sophisticated ruler.
And that was kind of awesome. I was like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and he conquered quite a bit of the world.
Yeah.
He actually made it all the way to Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever want to listen to hardcore history, Dan Carlin does a really great bit about the Mongolian like rule for a while.
Hmm. Yeah, it's crazy.
Europa.
Mm-hmm. Eurasia, even.
Eurasia.
Yeah, he makes it all the way to Europe. But this movie's just so good. I mean, historically accurate? No.
No.
They
do have some nice touches. Supposedly, the map of Waterloo is accurate to Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo.
Really?
At the hands of Lord Nelson. Yeah. There's little touches where it's like, there's something like Keanu's character said, like, I don't think that's going to work, man. And so it foreshadows Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo.
That's pretty great.
there's little touches like that.
Well, and I like that they did kind of learn history. Mm-hmm. Like, through all this, they did actually learn. And they were like, where would Napoleon go? Waterloo. I just loved the like absolutely cheesy, like them reciting lines in sync, like them saying the same thing, like, what number are we thinking? 69.
Or it's like,
excellent.
Heavy metal, dude.
Dude, yes.
Yeah.
This movie just made me feel stupider, but also like in a fun way.
It was like, I was trying to explain it. It's like this movie was awesome because I always like to think about like behind the scenes stuff. And I was like, think about how many times they had to do this and then cut character. Cause like we've all seen Keanu Reeves not in any, you know, just like his normal self.
Mm-hmm.
And just think of like that character was like 69 and then be like, all right, cut. All right, here we're going to shift the camera, change the light. And they're like, God damn. And they're just like, all right. And then they just get right back into character. That stuff blows my mind.
Like, it's like 5 years after this came out, he was in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Oh,
Francis Ford Coppola. I mean, his accent was dog shit in that film. Yeah. But
well, it's like it's proof that, you know, Keanu is awesome when he stays within his range. That's what they say about singers. It's like, as a singer, you want to know where your voice is on a piano. Like, you stay in that range.
Yeah, you want to. You know, mode stuff down when it's outside of your range.
Yeah.
Don't go to Bram Stoker's Dracula. You're Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
Keanu. You're doing Point Break.
Speed, Point Break. Keanu's awesome.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted,
I still have never seen Point Break.
We have to pot over that then.
You want me?
That is a necessity.
Dude, a whole season of surfing movies.
Yeah. That's Swayze and Keanu. That's Swayze's another guy.
I will admit, that movie was fucking badass as shit. And I saw Point Break, we're digressing completely, saw that. I was in the living room while my parents were watching it. And right when they, Travis, spoiler alert, there is a minor raid and a girl's titties are exposed. Mm-hmm. And then I was forced out of the room after that. But I was watching that movie up to that point as a young hua. Yeah. And then they kicked me out. Yeah. They're like, oh, you got to go. I'm like, well, I already saw the tits.
Yeah.
And this movie's awesome.
Yeah.
So
Keanu, I mean, John Wick, I mean, Keanu, when he stays where he's supposed to on the, in terms of music, like within his range, he's great. When he goes to, when he's acting with Oscar winners like Anthony Hopkins and Gary Oldman.
I've seen where the Boston sleeps.
It's, and he's trying to do a British accent. It ain't good.
No, it ain't good.
But when he's doing The Matrix, great.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a key to, I mean, any actor or any singer. It's like, know where you are. Know your range.
He did a movie with like a very drama, romantic thing with Charlize Theron.
Yes.
November.
Yeah. November, yeah.
I thought that was a good movie. It was a weird thing for him.
They're a good couple, yeah.
But it was like, I remember seeing that and being like, this is Keanu Reeves, but he kind of pulled it off. Yeah. I was like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. It was like,
I would love dark, to see both of those actors in an action role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He did some weird, like some sports movies too, where he was like the coach for inner city like baseball team, but then he was also in The Replacements, which
Bad
I was
News
like
Bears re- reboot.
I think yeah,
it was, which it. I was like The Replacements. This isn't that great. And then I've turned around and I watch it every single time it's on TV. Gene Hackman is the coach. I'm like,
yeah,
I know it's not good, but I keep watching it. I don't know what it is.
Love these actors.
He needs the only Keanu needs
Orlando Jones is in that too.
Oh, he needs
just looks like I jerked off an elephant.
Yeah. He needs to be the reboot of Unnecessary Roughness.
Oh, I need Scott Bakula. I need Sinbad.
Scott's out. It's like,
no,
but
no.
Keanu.
Is Sinbad still with us?
I think Kathy Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taylor and I watched it when he was in his old house before he moved. We were just getting turnt in the middle of the day, and he was like, no, this is on Netflix. We should watch Unnecessary Roughness. I'm like, you're goddamn right.
Yeah.
And we did.
What a great cast.
That needs to be a reboot, and Keanu Reeves needs to be the quarterback big time.
That needs to be a pause.
He's kind of old now.
So what's Scott Bakula?
Have you never seen Unnecessary Roughness?
No, I have, but like...
Ain't nobody in that movie Spring Chicken, including Rob Schneider.
Wait,
what?
God, he was the announcer.
The announcer.
Yes. Well played, Todd.
Yeah.
So... Wrapping up my thoughts on Bill and Ted.
Sorry.
I think as a time travel movie goes, honestly, like kind of impressive time travel theory integrated in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's like they don't just sort of like yada, yada, yada over like you go back in time. Okay. You do a thing, you come back at the right time. It's like they're like, okay, the clock is running. You have to like, you know, time that you experience in a linear way is going to be, you know, the same to when you return back. I think as we go through this series, it'll be interesting to see how many like screenwriters take on time travel.
Yeah.
Because it is something that is like, as physics go, very impossible and very deep and nebulous.
So the last thing I'll say about this is this film is the closest to Doctor Who, basically. They have the telephone, whatever. In Doctor Who, the TARDIS has a chameleon circuit where it can mimic something of the time period where it goes. So when you see at the very beginning of Bill and Ted, it's just this huge crystal, and then they turn it into a telephone booth. Well, I guess in Doctor Who, the chameleon circuit on the TARDIS is busted, so it always looks like the blue police box. The second thing about the TARDIS is that it has some circuit in there which is kind of a universal translator. So whenever they go to visit some alien world, it's already uploaded that language center in there, and you're hearing the people, translation circuit.
But when you have a whole TV show about time travel,
you can do more. But which I was thinking about when they were talking to Socrates, when they were like, okay, we're going to try and interpret some of this. I'm like, I keep wanting to make Bill and Ted I keep wanting to make Bill and Ted like somehow attached to Doctor Who. I'm like, oh, I totally get it now. Yeah.
And I love it that Socrates is like, sands through the hourglass, as these are the days of our lives. Yeah, it's like the fucking soap opera.
Seven. This movie's a seven.
Yeah.
Fucking enjoyable.
Yeah.
Just delightful.
I will agree with that. It's like, what I have here is like it wears its stupidity like a merit badge that it stitched on itself.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to criticize. It's bulletproof in that sense. It's like, it's so stupid.
It's self-aware.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, like we were saying, like the Napoleon eating Neapolitan ice cream. It's like,
oh, yeah.
That's Naples. That's not Napoleon.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. You know, it's like they're doing it on purpose. They're making a dumb joke.
What was the fucking, the ice cream guys, what were they chanting? Like,
pig, or it's like, or I know, what was it?
It's like squiggy piggy or
yeah,
something?
Squiggy piggy, or it's like, yeah.
Squiggy piggy, squiggy
yeah.
piggy.
Yeah. And then he gets
so weird.
He gets chucked out of the bowling alley.
What, he gets an extra medal to put up of his other medals.
He was so proud. He was so proud of the button. And then they oinked at him.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed the cast. I would say 6.5, 7, somewhere in that range. I got a big kick out of it. And I like rewatching it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, like, you know, like you're saying, you're dumber, but you're in a good mood. So
yeah,
why not?
I was in a great mood watching those.
Yeah.
But to Travis's point, if you're not in a good mood to watch this, like,
yeah, yeah.
Like I said, it's not, my dad watched Three Amigos one time. He's like, I don't get it. This is fucking stupid. And then he watched it a year or two later, and then he was just could not stop laughing. He was like, I don't know why I didn't like it the first time.
Yeah, comedy
Buttercup.
Like,
I mean, yeah. How do you not?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So just the this time I was
great.
Just
now I got to rewatch it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot, and it's one of the movies I would definitely like watch at least some of it if it popped up on cable.
But you're not watching this movie for historical accuracy.
No, you're watching it for the sheer goofiness of it.
Yeah, right.
And nostalgia.
No stakes. It's 90 minutes. You can turn it on and just like
it
smile.
Is pure junk food.
One thing, the sequel in Bogus Journey, I cannot remember the actor's name, but he was the villain in Die Hard 2, and he played Death, the Grim Reaper.
Bill Sadler, yeah.
He is an excellent third wheel.
He's most excellent.
He's phenomenal. They keep Rufus in there, but like, he's a great, like, weird straight man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that duo.
Where they have to play like Battleship against him and like,
yeah. And is he in the third movie too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, you have sunk my battleship.
Does he play a large role in the third one?
Pretty good. I mean, he's definitely there. It's like, as I recall, it's like they have a rift with him and they have to go to hell and like go talk to him and kind of like he was the bass player in their band and they broke up and so they had to go kind of like, you know, settle their differences.
Oh my God.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, now I got to see this.
Yeah, Death was their bass player.
Okay.
But yeah, it's cute. It was a cute movie.
Bill Sadler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill Sadler. Okay. But yeah, that's our first time travel movie. It's pretty cute.
Pretty cute.
Yeah. Next time, we're going to go in a completely different direction for number two with The Terminator. James Cameron.
Excellent soundtrack.
Yeah.
Brad Fidel.
Iconic. Schwarzenegger.
Also did the soundtrack for Fright Night.
Oh, yeah.
Part one.
He did.
And I still always, when I like, I'm cooking and I like, I'm banging a spoon on the side of a pan. It's always in the.
Come with me if you want to live. Yeah, I'll get to bust out my Schwarzenegger.
That's number two, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's both of them. I think that.
I don't think he hits you with "Come with me if you want to live."
No, he doesn't do it. It's the other guy. It's
Kyle,
his baby daddy.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We'll save it for the podcast.
We'll
save it for the podcast. But yeah, we will do that next time. We thank you guys for joining us. We got Travis Budd.
Heyo.
And Taylor Owens.
Excellent.
And Sean Jordan.
Be excellent to each other.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
And party on, dudes.
Party on, dudes.
And not with a whimper, but probably a whole lot of whimpers. A
lot of bangs.
That are coming from Bill's room with his dad.
Oh,
his
God.
Missy.
Dude.
Missy.
Shut up, Ted.
It's totally bogus.
Go get some dinner.
An early dinner.
Yeah, early dinner. It was late.
Yeah.
They were just fed.
Teeny, you fat lard. Go get some dinner.
But we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe to Cinema Vino on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you choose to get your podcast. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at ToddWoffordMovies.com.